It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
The Hicks, it's Ryan McGee sitting in for Paul Feinbaum today. Been a minute. Man, it's good to be back in the seat there. And, taking notes. Got callers. So my father, Dr. Jerry McGee, longtime college football official, longtime college administrator, current president of the North Carolina Sports Hall of Fame. He's in Raleigh getting ready for tomorrow night's Hall of Fame induction. Sam Mills going in. Luke Appling. I don't know why it took so long to get Luke Appling in. He's been in Cooperstown for many years. Torrey Holt, yeah, played at NC State. I mean, it's a great group. But Dad's going to come in, and we'll talk about sidelines and bloodlines. Available wherever fine books. I think I did.
Raymond?
Yeah, Raymond. Raymond McGee wrote that with his dad and his brother. But Charles, Jim in Gainesville called and was asking about West Virginia. He said, ask your dad for some Big East stories. Dad was in the Big East forever. That's how I know Shane Beamer, because Virginia Tech, Frank, all that stuff. And should West Virginia be in the ACC? Some would say they should be in the SEC. Feels like more of an SEC atmosphere, burning couches and whatnot. Jordan Reed joins us now. We just became Twitter friends like a couple hours ago because I realized we're going to be doing the show together. I apologize. I thought it was already fun. You haven't been with the company that long, so I've been able, but I was perusing your rankings, which, by the way, are on ESPN.com right now, your latest draft rankings on Insider. I got a couple of angry Georgia callers that are on hold, because they keep saying that Aiden Hutchinson is going to be the number one pick and is the number one rated guy. Explain to me why. This guy that, while we were all talking about Jordan Davis and whatnot last fall, Aiden Hutchinson is the one that went to New York for the Heisman ceremony. And now he's going to be the number one pick in the draft, more than likely. What is it about him that everyone has ranked number one, but you do in particular?
Well, I think it's just the floor with Aiden Hutchinson. You know exactly what you're getting from him walking through the door. And it's not a situation of where he may be the most talented or have the most upside as some of the other talented pass rushers in this class. I don't even think he's as physically gifted as some of the other Georgia pass rushers that I'm sure we'll talk about here in a second. But with Aiden Hutchinson, just the combination of everything that he comes with from a character standpoint, the skill set, and then what he put on display last year outside of the Georgia game. I know that's going to come up with a lot of Georgia fans. I thought he played it really well last year.
Yeah, no, there's no question about it. And that's, I mean, listen, I don't care who you are. They don't invite you to New York for the ceremony unless you've had a pretty decent year. And oh, by the way, Michigan had a really great year. This is a draft that is going to be dominated by linemen on both sides of the football. As an evaluator, we had Todd McShay on earlier, but as someone who evaluates talent, I feel like you guys really dig that. Do you? When it's a line, quarterback drafts are easy, right? We can all look at quarterbacks. When it's a lineman draft, you know, I feel like that's when you get to dig in, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And me being a former quarterback, I always get giddy when I see some productive offensive linemen or some guys that are just pushing people around. That stuff always makes me happy, especially when I'm the guy behind them. So just seeing these pass rushers, I think they're so physically gifted. Trayvon Walker from Georgia, of course, is getting a lot of buzz as the potential number one overall pick along with Aiden Hutchinson right now. I think those are your two guys at the top. On the opposite side of the ball, Evan Neal from Alabama, who was another SEC standout, along with Akeem Okwunu, who played really well at NC State, along with Charles Cross at Mississippi State, who was a bit of a late bloomer during his time with the Bulldogs there. There's so many trench players, and I expect as many as 7 pass rushers to go in the first round, and then also 3 offensive tackles possibly could go in the top 10. So those trench players really are going to dominate not only the top 10, but also the first round as well.
Well, you mentioned Trayvon Walker, and there is also a story on ESPN.com right now about Vegas has suddenly got Trayvon Walker moving up as, I think, he's the second favorite to be the number one pick. What is it about him that's created all this momentum in the last couple of weeks?
Well, it's just the combination of the traits, the size, and even though he lacks production, the P word that I like to say, potential, is going to be floated out there a lot with him. And even though he only had 9.5 sacks at Georgia, he was a force in the run game. And with coaches, they always like those big balls of clay that they can mold. So just talking to position coaches or defensive line coaches around the NFL at the combine, Trayvon Walker was a name that popped up a lot of times just because you see so many positive things on tape and you see so many flashes of what he can be. He's a potential over production prospect right now. And there's a lot of teams that feel as if they can get that production out of him. At 6'5", 272 pounds, he runs a 4.59 at the combine, which is observant, abnormal at a position like that.
Jordan Reed joining us on ESPN.com right now. You can see his latest rankings, the top 365 prospects in this draft. All right, you said you were a quarterback. I asked McShay about this guy earlier. Matt Corral is a football player that I feel like I've been covering for 10 years, going all the way back to when he was in high school for some of the wrong reasons. There was a lot of baggage with him, but then he became a tremendous quarterback at Ole Miss. What's the upside with Matt Corral, and what are the potential pratfalls if you take a first-round pick and use that for Matt Corral?
Yeah, he's matured a lot ever since he got to Ole Miss. And then, you know, during his college career, leading up to his college career, he was committed to Florida. He was committed to some other places, but he ends up going to Ole Miss with Lane Kiffin. And it's just been fun to see his maturity and his maturation over the past few years. Specifically last year, he reduced his interception totals all the way down to 5. And he had 11 in 2 games alone during his sophomore season. Against LSU, he had 5, and then also against Arkansas, he had 6 alone. So the interception totals is something that just shows how well and how far along, his maturation has taken place. But one word that I would use to describe his skill set is quick. He has a lightning quick release, he has really quick feet, and his eyes always marry up to his feet. And that happens being in Lane Kiffin's system that is a bit quarterback friendly, a lot of run pass option, a lot of attacking over the middle of the field, and what I like to call object read. So he's reading a linebacker or he's reading a safety, and he's making decisions based off of those guys. So the one thing or the one caveat I would say with Matt Corral's evaluation is that it's going to be a bit of a steep learning curve for him as far as going through progressions, getting to that 4th, 5th, and even 6th option in the progressions. So I think that's going to be the big hurdle that he needs to climb and get over to be a successful NFL quarterback. But as far as all the traits and the qualities and everything that you want and signal caller on the next level, I think he has it.
All right, Jordan Reed, you ranked 365 players on ESPN.com. I'm not good at math, but I do know that's more players than are going to be drafted next week. Who's your guy? Who's the guy that you look at and you go, someone has to use a pick on him, but maybe they're not looking at it. Who's your surprise guy that 5 years from now, everybody's going to be going, why did we not take him in the 2nd or 3rd round?
Well, for me, it's going to be Channing Tindall, the linebacker from Georgia. And I think he's probably going to end up going in the 3rd round. I think that's a sweet spot for him. Never started a game at Georgia, played behind N'Kobe Dean and then also Quay Walker, who possibly both could end up being 1st-round selections. But with Tindall, even though he never started a game at Georgia, he led the team in tackles last year. That says a lot, especially with the defensive pieces that they had on that side of the ball last year. One of the best defenses in college football history. But what you see is number 41 flying all over the field, whether it's run defense or also in pass coverage. He also has a positive effect on special teams too. Everything that he has in his skill set translates to the next level. So Channing Tindall, the linebacker from Georgia, would be my guy that I would stand on the table for in this year's draft room.
All right, I love that pick. So you mentioned the fact that you were a quarterback. How great would it have been to be behind Evan Neal?
Oh, it would have been great. I wouldn't have to worry about my blind side at all. So I see why Bryce Young was so comfortable in the pocket and why he ended up winning the Heisman Trophy. But Evan Neal, he's one of the more impressive prospects that I've been able to get an opportunity to learn, then also know a little bit throughout this pre-draft process. I was blown away with just his body type and how he looked at the combine. If you told me he weighed 337 pounds, I would call you a liar really quickly just because he has that Tyron Smith type of body of where his listed weight, he looks much smaller than his listed weight just because all his weight is in his lower half, but he's such a great athlete. I think he's going to be a franchise left tackle on the next level.
We say this all the time on Marty McGee about, to me, the most underappreciated aspect of college football is the overwhelming number of smart, good kids that are playing the game. And when you are evaluating talent, how much does that factor into you? How much is it that potential interview, that potential leader in the locker room, how much does that factor into you when you're doing your talent evaluation?
It means a lot, just because from the media side, this is the hardest part of the evaluation. And what I mean by that is getting to know the person with their helmet off. Anybody can watch, they can bring up clips, they can see that Matt Corral throws a 60-yard touchdown. But what they can't see is the impact that he has in the community, some of the things that he's doing behind the scenes, how hard he studies in the film room, how hard he works at his craft. So from a media perspective, that's why you have to trust your sources, the people that are inside the building with them. And then also these podium sessions at the combine, who has those welcoming and infectious personalities that you can see being leaders of your franchise?
Jordan Reed, great stuff, man. We'll we're Twitter friends, so we can have these conversations anytime we want.
Absolutely. Thanks as always, Ryan.
All right, man. Best of luck next week. There you go, Jordan Reed. And if you go to ESPN.com right now, he ranks 365 players, which is more than 100 players above the number that will be drafted. And I'm fascinated by that, because how many great players have we seen aren't drafted, have their hearts crushed, and then they become free agents and play in the league for 15 years. And so Jordan Reed, a guy that knows what it takes to play football, and it's a tremendous article. All right, the lines are loaded, as they say. Feel free to call in as well, 855-242-PAUL. Going to get to you callers when we return.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back. It's the Paul Feinbaum Show. I'm Ryan McGee, sitting in for Paul this afternoon. And it's been a Randy, how'd you? It's been a rollicking afternoon.
Yeah, it's been a big frolic.
Yeah, a big frolic of broadcast excellence all day long. Woo! And it's been
like a free for all, really.
And hey, you can call us 855-242-PAUL. And I have no short-term memory, so I keep having to read the number. Have you ever noticed that? I always read the number. Yeah.
7285.
Yeah.
Or Paul.
You would know, because you've heard it a couple times. And you listen, which I appreciate. And, all right. So we just had we're just talking NFL draft rankings. And Jordan Reed backed up what Todd McShay said and what everyone else is saying, that Aiden Hutchinson out of Michigan is likely to be the number one pick of the NFL draft. Don in Georgia is on the line. Don, how you feel about that Aiden Hutchinson number one thing?
Well, you answer me. He just answered all my questions. He didn't play well in the Georgia game, and I can't understand why he's number one pick. My concern is for Jacksonville. What is going to be the best pick for Jacksonville? I know that may be out of line here, but I'm not sure it's the kid from Ohio State or Michigan or wherever. Michigan.
Yeah, Michigan. So in your opinion, what's the best move for Jacksonville?
I'm asking.
Oh, you're asking me?
Yeah.
Well, I like Aiden Hutchinson. Just because I tell you, a guy that I like a lot that kind of fell off the radar just because he didn't play last year was Kayvon Thibodeau at Oregon.
Yes.
He's really good. He just didn't play. And so there's not a lot of film. He made a decision not to play last year. But I went out to Oregon back last August to do a story on the Duck mascot, which is, you know, hard hitting journalism, and ran into Thibodeau, and he's a beast. But yeah, I feel that way about Derek Stingley Jr. out of LSU. I don't know that anybody's going to use a number one draft pick on a corner, but I think those two guys, we'd had this conversation a year ago, they would have been probably your top two picks, but either one of those. But I like Hutchinson. I do. I know he didn't play well in the Georgia game, but you know, What else is new? No one else played well against Georgia either. But I get it, Donnie. I totally understand where it's coming from. LP in Athens is on the line. LP, what's going on?
What's up, Ryan? How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. You see Slayball playing golf? You're in Athens. That's where he is. Look out for him.
I will. I will.
Honk a horn in his
backswing.
Yeah,
man. What do you say?
I said honk your horn in his backswing. Mess him up. What's going on?
I will. I will for sure. But, yeah, man, so I'm sure you've been asked this question a million times, but with all Georgia has coming back with Nolan Smith, Jalen Carter, Keeley, how is Ohio State ranked ahead of them?
Well, I think that Slayball's point earlier when he was on the show, and you're talking about his way too early top 25, he has Alabama 1, Ohio State 2, Georgia 3, and he said – it's those three and then a big gap to everyone else. But I think his concern is, yeah, they're bringing – I'm looking at it right here. They're bringing 11 starters back, 12 if you include special teams. But you're losing Trayvon, Jordan, Devontae, N'Kobe, Channing, Kendrick, Sawyer. I mean, using James Cook. I mean, you're losing a lot of guys. And to his point, I think that draft is going to be super fun next week for Georgia fans, except for the fact that all those guys are leaving. I think that's what it is. But he said it's those three and everyone else. So it's not like you're in bad company. JK, welcome into Fineball.
Ryan, what's happening, man?
How you doing, dude?
Oh man, I can't complain, but I know. Hey, I'm gonna give you an opinion, then I'm gonna ask you a couple questions.
Okay.
All right. My opinion is, how crazy is Auburn, the coaching staff at Auburn, that they let Malik Willis get away to perform their nepotism dance at Auburn? Now the quarterback that they did the nepotism dance for is in Oregon, and Malik Willis may be the first quarterback taken. That's my opinion.
No.
Now I'm going to ask you a question.
Yeah, you're not the only one, man. It's when I saw Willis, I went up to Liberty and saw Willis work out, and my immediate reaction was, man, y'all couldn't get him some snaps on the planes. But that's all right.
Hey, I'm going to ask you a question now. This concerning the team with all the five stars and the best coach.
Okay.
If it's not four easy wins – in hopes of getting a playoff spot, why would the best team in football schedule Utah State, La Monroe, Vanderbilt, and a 6-7 Texas team for their out-of-conference opponents? What are those four teams going to do for Alabama? What are they preparing Bama for? Or are they just easy wins? I'm just asking a simple question.
No, well, I'll say this. We're talking about Alabama, so I get that it's relative here. Utah State is not an easy out. Look at what Utah State's done in the last 10 years. That's not an easy out. But it's Alabama, and it's in Tuscaloosa. They are done now for a while. With every year, Saban would schedule that neutral site, you know, Labor Day weekend game. I was at the Miami Alabama game last year, Labor Day. But instead of that, they're going to Texas because they're going to do home and homes now. But I'm with you. I mean, listen, ULM, Ulm, Louisiana Monroe, they're in the bottom 10 a lot. I'll write to bottom 10. And then, you know, then you've got your typical next to last week, SEC before the rivalry weekend game against Austin Peay. But, yeah, I mean, listen, if you can schedule them, And they'll come to town. You know, Saban is a big believer in writing checks to an Austin Peay to help them pay for the program. He has said that.
Hey, Ryan, I understand all that, man. But my question was, why do they do it? I understand why they do it. It's for easy wins and, you know, guaranteed W so they can get a playoff spot. But this is the other thing that I wanted to ask you. When the mighty Crimson Tide wins, right, they're so mighty, they got all the five stars, blah, 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 blah. But when they lose, you get a song full of excuses.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give you case in point. The reason that they lost the championship this year was because Williams was hurt, the best wide receiver, right? But you go back 1 year prior when they won the championship, the Heisman Trophy winning wide receiver was hurt, and they won the championship. But you had no excuses to follow. Now, what's the difference in those two scenarios, winning the championship and losing the championship? So if you're going to use the excuse when you lose, why can't you use the excuse for the other team when you won? I mean, I don't get it.
Because you're not going to say that you got beat, right? You can't admit you just got beat. It can't be that easy, right, JK?
Hey, Ryan, either you show good sportsmanship or you're just the entitlement school. You can't have it both ways. And just like the fans, you can't be the cream of the crop when you win and the other team never gets praise or a compliment when they beat you.
Yeah.
It's got to be an excuse when Alabama loses.
No, sometimes you just lose. I'll give you an example. I was at the Duke-Michigan State NCAA tournament game in the second round down in Greenville, South Carolina. And Tom Izzo walked up to me and he goes, "We did nothing wrong tonight." He goes, "We just got beat. We just lost." And sometimes
I was at the game in Atlanta. Yep. My team got whooped. I'm a Miami fan. I don't have any excuses. So I don't expect excuses. When other teams lose, just take the loss and deal with it.
Yeah.
That's how I am.
Can't do it, though. You cannot do it. You know what that's called, JK? That's called spoiled rotten.
Roll Tide,
roll. It is. That is RTR, spoiled rotten. It's what it is. And it's a great problem to have.
Hey, fanatics is what I call it.
Yep. There you go. No, hey, and listen, you got your Miami gear on there in the picture. I'm a Tennessee alum.
What you think we're going to do this year? I've been hearing a lot of hype, like I always hear hype, but just like I tell all my fellow Kane fans, I don't care what kind of coaching roster you put together. If nobody's down there teaching tackling and blocking for the quarterback, it's just some more hype.
Yep. Listen, I'll believe it when you do it, and that's all I got, you know. The reality is that, again, I'm a Tennessee guy. You're a Miami guy. I'll throw Nebraska in there. And I've told all these people, Texas, I've told them all, look at what Michigan did. You can turn the corner. Suddenly everything will be rosy again. Even when everybody's ready to fire Jim Harbaugh a year ago, and now he's the hero because he made the playoffs. So, yeah, you can get there, but I'm with you, man. Until you do it, and I've told my Tennessee people this, until you do it, I'm probably not going to believe. So, yeah.
Hey, one last thing, and I'm going to let you go, and I keep saying it. If we get by Texas A&M and Clemson, we're going to make the playoffs.
All right. There you go.
You heard it here first.
Remember, I told you that.
Write it down. No, I'm writing it down right now, JK.
All right, buddy.
Take it easy. Yeah, the good news about that Alabama-Miami game was that I got to leave early. I actually wrote my column from like a Waffle House somewhere on 85. I had to ride a gamer, and that game was over soon. I hated it because Manny Diaz, my dude, and he got wrong. The way that – I'm not saying it wasn't time to move on. I'm just saying they could have handled that differently. But we'll see. But until Miami turns the corner, until the old school, old powers from the 90s turn the corner, early 2000s turn the corner, then I can't be a believer. Yeah, I am a believer. And y'all calling in, I got all sorts of calls on hold here. We're going to get to them. And then my dad's going to call in at the top of the hour. That'd be awesome.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back. It is the Paul Feinbaum Show. And no, I am not Paul Feinbaum. I'm Ryan McGee sitting in for Paul. And it's great to be back. I used to do this a lot and then didn't do it for a while. Been a little busy, but now I'm back and it feels good, man. You having fun over there?
Absolutely.
Okay. As long as you're having fun, I'm having a great time.
You want to sell some books?
Huh? Yeah, man, hey, yeah, Dad, my dad's going to join us. We're going to talk about sidelines and bloodlines.
Yay.
And I'm going to put it, and before the show's over with, I'm going to put it on the shelf back here because Paul has all these fancy books. And I'm going to put it right in front of my conference can beat your conference. I'm going to say my book can beat your book.
That's right.
Yeah, so I'm going to do that. Ty in Pittsburgh is on the line. Ty, what is going on?
Hey, what's up, Ryan? How you doing, man?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm good. I was just here doing some work, and I had the sound turned down. I saw J.K. from Alabama, who I thought was an Alabama fan, so I turned the sound up just to see, you know, hear more good stuff about the Tide.
Right.
And it turns out this guy's a Miami Hurricanes fan.
Yeah.
So I heard a couple of things that I kind of take umbrage with. I just want to get some things on my chest about what I just heard.
Okay.
He talked about Alabama playing people like Utah State, Monroe, Louisiana Monroe,
yeah,
and later on another team before they play Auburn. That always happens. It always happens in football like that. It's like, you know, you pay to help schools out with their budgets. But the other thing is, I looked at Miami's schedule. I see Bethune-Cookman. I see Middle Tennessee. I see Southern Miss. So if it's not good for the goose, how come if it's good for the goose, how come not from the gander?
Yeah.
And also you look at the fact that, okay, he talks about if we do this and if we do that, we're going to go to the playoffs. Well, first of all, JK, y'all got to win the ACC.
Yeah.
How can you go if you can't win the ACC? The other thing is, if it ends with pots and pans, the Canes will be cooking. They used to be a fast team, but with all those medallions around their neck, maybe that's why they're a slow team right now. So there's a reason Manny Diaz is not there. So I just want to say, you know, JK, check your stats and check everything out before you rain down on Alabama. And it's not that Alabama players and the coaches who say that we're number one. It's the media. It's the pundits. It's the other fans. And why do Alabama fans get upset when they lose? Because we rarely do. If you're a Canes fan, it's easy to take because you're kind of used to losing. So I just want to say, JK, check yourself before you come at Alabama. And every five-star, no matter what team they play for, every five-star is not a five-star. There's a difference. And the difference is the coaching and the culture make the difference. Case in point, what's the young man's name who went down to Texas now, Ajayi Hall?
Yeah.
Well, apparently he didn't fall in line, so now he's somewhere else. So we'll see what happens in the future, but it's the coaching and the culture that makes the difference. And that's why this team has stayed on top for so long. It's okay to lose every now and then. We don't cry. We're just not used to losing. So that's all it is.
Yeah. This is a producer, Mark, by the way. What was that stat you just threw out there, Mark? Nick Saban's 1-3 in his last four national title games. I almost set a timer, and I'm mad at myself because I didn't think of it, but I almost set a timer to see how long it would take somebody to call in and say Miami's playing Bethune-Cookman opening weekend. Love Bethune-Cookman. Daytona Beach, one of my favorite places on earth. I've spent more time there than anywhere other than Charlotte.
I don't remember a lot of it.
Love BC, yeah. But they play Bethune-Cookman Southern Miss, at Texas A&M, and in Middle Tennessee. So, and in 23, they play Miami of Ohio. Yeah. And then they got A&M, Texas A&M, at Hard Rock Stadium. And then they're taking it back to the old Big East and going up to Temple. So, anyway, that's I literally was sitting there thinking, I knew they were opening with somebody, and I just wasn't fast enough. I was distracted by the weather over here. Neck in Alabama, what's going on, Neck?
Hey, it's Neck Bone. How you doing, Ryan?
Brother, my man, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Hey, tell me something. I know your yearly trek out to Omaha, you're always excited to go there, but how much more excited are you this year with Tennessee looking so good in baseball?
Dude, they look so good, and it's not just the fact that, you know, I'm an alum, but when Kyle Peterson, who is the face and the voice of the sport, openly says this might be the best, most complete team I've ever seen, then that's something. And, you know, and the coach made an idiot move over the weekend, but backed it up with what I thought was a pretty smooth move this week with the giving out the chest bumps on campus yesterday, raising money for Wounded Warrior. So, yeah, making the best of – but I'll say this about Tennessee. The one thing they can't do is that. They cannot let other stuff get in their head. You know, when they left Omaha last year, they were throwing clipboards and everything. You can't – if you're gonna win it all, have your head clear. So, chest bump people in April. Don't be doing that in June. But, yeah, they're good, dude.
Yeah, I was surprised Alabama took a game from them this weekend. I didn't see that coming.
Yeah,
but I say this about Alabama this year in football, they can like excuses or whatever, but I don't think a lot of Alabama fans really saw Alabama making it to the national championship game this year.
Yeah,
like
I agree with that.
Preseason, it just didn't look like this was a team that could do that much. And I think Georgia, when they got beat by Alabama the first time, did everything necessary to win that game in the fourth quarter. They, from the way I understood, they trained harder and were running sprints during practice to get in better shape. And it was basically a tie game to the fourth quarter. And all that training they did to get ready for the game paid off, and they beat Alabama in the fourth quarter.
There you go. No, it's hey, listen, sometimes – Nick Saban's the first one to tell you this. I think one of his national titles were undefeated, two tops. The rest of them, there was a loss in there, and he kind of digs it. He digs it when they lose a game because it wakes them up a little bit. I've kind of felt that way as Kirby Smart said that to us on Marty McGee. As much as it hurt, it'd wake you up a little bit. Yep. All right, Nick.
Yeah, Bunker, what, 2009 and 2020, that was the only ones that were undefeated, right?
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
All right.
Hey, you gonna call on Saturday?
Yeah, I'm gonna call on Saturday, even though y'all ain't gonna be down here at Mullet Toss. I'm gonna still call y'all.
I know it's on my calendar though. The Mullet Toss is happening down in Alabama this weekend, and and Neckbone has been trying to get us to come down to that thing, and we are gonna do it. But the Mullet Toss, and it's not you think it's people like tossing mullets. Like, but there's fish. It's mullet fish. Now, I'm sure there will definitely be people there.
Well, do they fry
them? Tossing mullets.
Later, do they cook?
They fry everything, don't they?
Yeah.
So they'll be tossing mullets and tossing their mullets in the wind, like Fabio, like Trevor Lawrence. Mm-hmm. Hey, if you want to join us, hurry up. My dad's going to join us in about 20 minutes. It's Feinbaum with Raymond McGee. Yeah, Marty Smith.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back. It's the Paul Feinbaum Show. I'm not Paul Feinbaum. I'm Ryan McGee sitting in for Paul. Or I could be Raymond. I could be Marty Smith. I could be Johnny Benson.
You've been called a lot of things
today. I've been called a lot of things today. And you know, I've been called a lot of, I get called a lot of things every day. Thank you, Twitter, for that. Ryan in Tifton, Georgia is on the line. Ryan, what's up? Great name.
Hey, Ryan, what's up?
Hey, dude.
Good name yourself.
You even said it right, Ryan. That's how you're supposed to say it.
Yeah, I'm telling you. I get called Brian sometimes because of my country accent.
Ron. I get called Ronnie. Oh, yeah.
Hey, I'm telling you. Man, I had a question for you about the east side of things.
Yeah.
As far as the, I know Georgia's always in it. I'm a big dog fan, grew up with a house full of dog fans and everything.
Yeah, man.
My granddaddy went to Georgia. That's where my grandparents met, went to Georgia, so it's a big part of my heart. I was asking, who do you think has the best chance to be the runner-up or to upset Georgia in the East as far as offense goes and defense?
It's a great question, and I think that I'm all in on Hendon Hooker. I think Tennessee's got a chance to move the football. They certainly proved they could last year. But top to bottom, and we were having this conversation earlier, it's hard to argue with Kentucky. You know, they got a good leader quarterback. They're about three deep everywhere. All they do is win 8-9 games a year now and play on New Year's Day. The wild card to me is Florida, because Florida should have beaten Alabama. What, week two, week three last year? And now they got a coach who actually, like, wants to be there, that the guys want to play for. And I understand they lost some guys. They also gained a lot of guys. I love Billy Napier. And so, I don't know, man. It's a great question. It's kind of a big old mess behind them. I think head-to-head, I say Tennessee. But over the course of the season, I think it might be Kentucky, if that makes sense.
Yeah, because I was thinking, you know, maybe even, you know, the transfer out of Oklahoma, Spencer Rattler you know, make something happen for South Carolina, but I just hadn't seen him play that much. And and it's just a toss-up as far as defense goes on with South Carolina, too.
Though. Yeah. Well, I can tell you this. I worked the South Carolina spring game Saturday night. I can tell you this. They got pretty big holes to fill. I mean, they don't have a kicker, and they just graduated the number one scorer in the history of the school, and they got some holes up front. They don't have a tight end. They got about nine guys compete for tight end. So there's some things they've got to do to protect Spencer Rattler. But the reality is, I don't believe that South Carolina is good enough to win the SEC East. But I think they are certainly good enough to ruin it for someone else, because they're going to score points. I mean, they got the best player in Wake Forest, got the best player for James Madison, they got the best receiver back, and now they brought in the guy who was everyone's preseason Heisman pick last year. So, yeah, they're dangerous. I don't know if they can win nine games, but I think they could keep someone else from winning that many.
Oh, they definitely the horse without a saddle, if you say. They still running.
I like that, Ryan. Horse without a saddle. I'm sorry.
All right.
All right, brother. I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. Y'all have a good one.
All right. You ever ridden a horse without a saddle?
No.
Yeah, don't do that. That's I'm telling you that because you're my friend. Landers in Alabama's on the line. Landers, what's going on?
Hey, how are we doing, guys? Man, I've just, you know, gotten in a tradition, I guess, this month of, like, getting in my vehicle around, you know, 4:30 and listening to JK just spit nonsense. And it makes my day, man. It makes my day. But, I will say that Alabama fans, they're definitely spoiled. But I'm one of those, too, like Nick Saban, to where we need a reality check every now and then. So I'm glad we lose one time to time. We need that. But I don't get people like J.K. Like, he's one of those that Miami could go 0-12 and Alabama could go 12-1. And that one game, he's like, that's better than Miami going 12-0. I don't get why he calls every single day and just likes to just talk all the smack about Alabama. Yeah, like he acts like Alabama never had a rough patch. Yeah, Miami had a tradition, but anybody over the age of 25 experienced, you know, Mike Price, Mike Shula, Dennis Franchione. I mean, we had all that. We experienced the Six Fingers, you know, all that. I just don't see where he's coming from, and I don't see why he keeps calling in just to talk about Alabama when Miami has nothing to brag about. Unless you're, you know, a Heat fan and you want to talk about Jimmy Butler dropping 45 points.
There you go, Landers. Landers, I'm glad we could be there for Landers at 4:30 every day. Does JK call in every day around 4:30?
Yeah, around
4:30. Yeah. That's I'll say this about JK. I don't necessarily agree with what he said. And clearly the Alabama fans do not agree with what he said. But if his goal is to elicit a reaction from the Alabama fan base, all I know is that the lines lit up with JK reaction. Billy in Alabama's on the line. Billy, what's up?
Hey, buddy, how you doing, Mr. Ryan?
I'm good, brother.
Hey, I just want to say something about JK's comment. Williams was out. He forgot all about Mitchie being out, and you got an offense built around those two players. And not only that, we had linemen out, and we had defensive backs out, cornerbacks, safety men or nickelbacks. They were out, too, from the difference of the first game. I really expected Georgia to have beat Alabama bad and for it to stay close all the way through into the fourth quarter. I felt like Alabama did good. But all praise goes to Georgia. I'm glad they won. Finally won one. I'm an Alabama fan. And no hard feelings towards anybody, but people need to kind of get it right or tell it like it is. Just Alabama was not just losing, just had one player out, you know? We had a lot of players out.
Jake, I don't know how y'all feel about JK. He's my new best friend. He made my job super easy for the last 30. Hey, my dad's coming up next.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.